Well, friends, we turn to our final word, the seventh word from the cross, from the lips of our Lord and Saviour. And this is back in Luke's Gospel now, chapter 23 and verse 46, and I'm going to read from verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, that's midday, and darkness came over the whole land unto the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Well, our brothers, Devin and Keith, have demonstrated for us very clearly the solemnity of this day and this time. And once again, Dr. Luke, just in those two verses, helps paint the picture afresh for us. From midday till 3 o'clock, darkness across the land. Does that symbolise judgment? God's verdict on what is happening? I suspect it does. Does it reflect the disorder that is happening? It doesn't normally bring darkness at that time of the day, but there's the disorder of the creation doing away with its creator. The curtain temple is torn in two from top to bottom. Once again, is it judgment? That is, that the temple is now finished. Is it fulfillment? I'm sure it is that the entrance into God's presence, which once took one high priest only once a year, was now going to be open for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure it is that. We, of course, have the wonderful benefit of reading backwards. But for those present, there would have been a sense of awe as those hours passed and as the darkness came, as the messengers came from Jerusalem giving news of the temple curtain. No doubt there would have been regret for many of them. There would have been a supernatural dread that came across many of them, and there would have been questions in their minds. Who is he? And then with that loud voice, our Lord calls out, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus' death was no accident. He did not go out in a whimper, but it was a voice of triumph. Paid in full, completed, as we've just been reminded, the task accomplished. And this cry was triumphant, not just in terms of victory and accomplishment, but in another way, which Keith opened up for us in the my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a note of triumph. Confidence in his Father has returned to him once again. We all seem to be quoting similar people. I'm quoting again from Marcus Sloan. And he says, three words had been in the sunlight while he endured the wrath of men. Three had been in darkness while he endured the wrath of God. And then he says on this one, the seventh, but now he had returned into the clear sunshine of God's favour, and the name of Father once more on his lips was a word of peace. Our Lord Jesus, as we've been reminded, knew his Father's presence except whilst he was being forsaken. He knew why he was being forsaken, and he was forsaken willingly. But having finished that work, having accomplished that work, which was on our behalf, the words, "Father," again are on his lips. First word, "Father, forgive them." The last word, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Separation was over. His confidence in his Father is affirmed. He is laying down his life for us. But as he does so, he is giving up his life to the Father. St. John, and we're so fortunate, aren't we? We can look at it not as those standing there at the moment with all those different emotions. We can look and see the considered words of both our Lord beforehand and of his apostles after. But our Lord says in John 10:18, "No one takes it from me," that's his life, "but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." The Father is in control, and the Lord Jesus is in his hands, and he is confident. His sacrifice is gain for him and for us. And so we see him quoting again. Devin has drawn attention to some of the Psalms that he has reflected upon. And this time, Psalm 31. Again, it's a psalm reflecting the psalmist's anguish. Starts off, "In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame." And then he quotes verse 5. But notice the differences, will you? "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." He doesn't ask the Father to redeem him because he needs no redemption. He came for your redemption and mine. But it's not the bald words, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." It's that express confidence in his Father. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Into his hands, the wicked hands of both the Jews who had betrayed him and the Romans who had put in the nails. Those hands had done their worst, but his Father's hands, safe hands. His Father's hands are trustworthy hands. They are good hands. And if you like, these last words are a commentary on his whole life. You remember at the beginning of his life and they couldn't find him when they returned? "I must be in my Father's house." Now, he knew, yes, Joseph was his father and he was his stepfather and he was obedient to him, but his Father was the Father in heaven. And he was about his business, a business which, as it unfolded in its purposes, he kept on committing himself to. And so he taught his disciples and us, and we still pray, do we not? "Our Father, who art in heaven." And then in Gethsemane, "Father, if it is possible for this cup to be removed, yet nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He knew what it would cost him. And if there was a way out, he would take it. But he knew that the Father could be trusted, and he went through the wrath, through the pain, and ultimately, of course, as we're reminded, we know, of course, not just from Easter Day, but we just know from the Gospels, he went through, and the resurrection is the seal of that. Now, brothers and sisters, those words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," there's only one way for us to make sure that they'll be our final words, whether it is a quick death, whether it is a long death, whether it is a death at the hands of persecutors, whether it is a death at old age. We do not know. None of us needs to know that. But if the lips of the Lord Jesus that he taught us, "Our Father in heaven," and our confidence is in God as our Father, whose hands above all hands are good hands, then they will be on our lips at our time of death. And we too will be able to say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." We know that the first martyr, Stephen, they were on his lips. Slightly different form. He was not the Saviour, but he commended himself to the Lord Jesus. No doubt he knew the confidence, the same confidence that our Lord Jesus knew. He had confidence in God, that God was not just a distant God, not just a creator, but his dear Father. And I want to suggest to us today that that is a confident cry that will transform both death and life for us. We know where we're going. Paradise, as Keith reminded us, is a place where Jesus is, but also where the Father is. The Father whose hands are so wonderfully safe and so wonderfully good. We know from the remaining verses, verse 47, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." We see here the centurion at least affirming what he knew of the Lord Jesus. Starting off his ordinary working day that morning. He was just another client to be crucified. But by the end, what he observed, he was able to affirm at least this was a righteous man. And when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight, what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. I expect there was a lot of remorse on that day. And some of them, as time would tell, no doubt, as they heard the gospel proclaimed, that remorse might well have turned to repentance. And they too would have been saved. And then there was those others, but all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. They were those who went away wondering, pondering. And fortunately for them, they hung around enough to have the whole truth revealed to them in resurrection, ascension, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And they became and continued to follow the Lord Jesus as disciples. Well, what about us? Well, just two thoughts. Firstly, here is an evening prayer for us. This was, that Psalm 31, I understand, was an evening prayer that a Jewish person would pray. And what a lovely prayer. Especially relevant for those who live by themselves, with the added dangers, not just of loneliness, but of living by oneself. But for all of us, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And of course we know that death has been transformed into nothing more fearful than sleep for the believer. And the hands are nail-pierced hands. They are safe hands. They are gracious hands. I suggest to you that here is a prayer, not just an evening prayer, but a daily prayer. Father, I commit myself into your hands. And then finally, in death, as with Jesus, as with the thief, our spirit is safe in the Father's hands. Our spirit, as Keith reminded us, does not sleep. It goes directly to be with the Lord Jesus the moment we die. Our body sleeps in the ground and will be reunited when the Lord Jesus returns in all his glory. But in the meantime, we are safe in Jesus' hands. Absolutely safe at the time when we will most need him. The judgment has been dealt with, and we are safe in his hands. Once again, Marcus Sloan puts it like this, and I'll finish with these words. He says, "No voice so well becomes a dying man as the voice of prayer. No word so well adorns a dying man as the word of God." Friends, live by the word of God and you'll never be disappointed. Pray as the word of God teaches you. Pray to your Father through the Lord Jesus, and he will never let us down. Let's pray. Our God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your gracious plan and purpose, which you have brought about. Lord Jesus, thank you for your extraordinary commitment to us that we have been able to reflect upon this afternoon. Thank you that your hands, Lord Jesus, the nail-pierced hands, are the safest of all hands. We thank you that you will lead us and that you will direct our paths. And where we grow weary, please sustain us. And where we grow nervous, please take away the fear. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to you, knowing that you are good, knowing that you are gracious, knowing that you alone can wonderfully lead us to God, both now in prayer and then through death. We commit ourselves to you afresh this day, for your sake and for the Father's glory. Amen.